The White House is not happy with Egyptian Vice President Omar Suleiman.
Yesterday, I think the Vice President Suleiman made some particularly unhelpful comments about Egypt not being ready for democracy, about not seeing a lift of the emergency law.
But Egypt's protesters might have missed Press Secretary Robert Gibbs' briefing. And this protester, Khaled Abdallah, is way beyond Mr. Suleiman.
The people are speaking, and the Omar Suleiman, as far as I'm concerned, can say what he wants. The country is deciding its future.
Sounds like it's time for another press conference. It's The Takeaway.
All across America, this is The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Celeste Headlee from Public Radio International and WNYC.
Good morning. It is Thursday, February 10th. There's no question that there will be a transition of some kind in Egypt. Who will lead it, though, it seems to be kind of up in the air.
And mentally, the protesters seem to have already made that transition away from Mubarak. Let's get a check of the morning's top news. We start in Egypt, where the Egyptian economy is suddenly in the crosshairs. From the city of Alexandria to the city of Suez. This morning, it's transportation workers and 5,000 doctors on the streets joining a nationwide strike calling for an end to the Mubarak regime. Last hour, a newly appointed culture minister, the only new face in the new cabinet, resigned. A few thousand protesters remain in Cairo's Tahrir Square for a 17th day, and hundreds are camped outside the parliament building. Egypt's foreign minister says the military is poised to intervene if the protests continue, but White House spokesman Robert Gibbs says if Egyptian authorities think a new crackdown will end this crisis, they're mistaken.
I think if there's some notion on the government side that you can put the genie back in this bottle, I think that's gone a long time ago.
The Guardian newspaper in London reports the Egyptian government has secretly detained and tortured in some cases hundreds, if not thousands, of protesters since the uprising began. Another massive rally is planned for tomorrow in Cairo.
A suicide bomber who killed at least 27 Pakistani soldiers this morning at an army training camp is being linked to the Pakistani Taliban. The bomber was reportedly a teenager dressed in a school uniform. India and Pakistan agreed this morning to restart formal peace talks that were frozen after the 2008 Mumbai attacks. And in Washington, Republicans are hunting for some deep spending cuts. They've laid out a plan to eliminate 60 federal programs like family planning services and public broadcasting. President Obama's budget is due out on Monday.
Speaking on Capitol Hill, Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke warned against steep budget cuts at this time, saying hiring needs to get back on track first.
With output growth likely to be moderate for a while and with employers reportedly still reluctant to add to payrolls, it will be several years before the unemployment rate has returned to a more normal level.
Also on Capitol Hill yesterday, Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napolitano.
In some ways, the threat today may be at its most heightened state since the attacks nearly 10 years ago.
She's not talking about budget cuts. Sitting next to her was the man in charge of the National Counterterrorism Center, Michael Leiter, who said Osama bin Laden is no longer public enemy number one. That distinction now goes to Anwar al-Awlaki, the radical cleric in Yemen associated with al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula.
A German group is reportedly on the verge of buying the New York Stock Exchange. The deal would create the world's largest financial exchange, and it comes on the heels of yesterday's merger between the London and Toronto exchanges. Looking at the markets, Asian and European markets are down, and so are futures. The Dow will start at 12,239, the S&P at 1,320, the Nasdaq will open at 2,789.
This morning, we're going to tell you about a play, a theatrical play, about a theater of war that's getting a star-studded audience, as in star generals and other Pentagon officials. They're getting a special viewing of a production of The Great Game Afghanistan. Our friend Patrick Henry Bass is going to be here. He's been watching the revolutions in the Arab world and brings up some of his famous revolutionary books. Those conversations later on this hour. What book do you read to understand a revolution, either historically or psychologically even? But first, speaking of psychology, who is Omar Suleiman? We'll talk about the transitional leader of Egypt, his relationship with the U.S., and how likely he is to actually lead the transition. That's in a few minutes.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.